We're going to get started with page 84 in Heavenly Highway Hymns. Page 84. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turning, and you know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my past seems drear without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The mists of sin may rise and hide the sorry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer will turning, then you know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer. He knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turning, then you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Page 216. A lot about to in this song, a lot about to. 216. What a happy time, some glad tomorrow, when we lay these heavy burdens down in this lonesome vale. No more to roam, having labored on through joy and sorrow, hoping to receive the golden crown. It will all be joy in that sweet home. Beautiful city, some happy day, where the river of life that happy resting place in this lonesome vale. No more to roam yonder where the sun is always shining. We shall shall look upon his smiling face. It will all be joy in that sweet home. Across the river deep and wide, in this lonesome vale,
no more to roam,
through eternity no separating, every heart will then be satisfied,
it will all be joy
in that sweet home.
Resurrection Day. It's good to be in the Lord's house once again today, and good to see all those that have come this way. I hope and pray that you've been prayerful for today in this service. I pray that through and by this service, it's the Lord's name will be lifted. This is the day that's celebrated that for our Lord and Savior, and Him rising from the dead. And I hope that each one of us today will have these things on our heart and on our mind, because He did it for us. He did it for us because He loved us. And I hope we'll, throughout this service, that our hearts and our minds will be focused upon that, just that. There's a lot of things that goes on this time, a lot of things that can take our minds away from what this day is set aside to mean. And let's be mindful of that and try to focus upon those things that God would have us to, and He'll get honor and glory from that. I've got a couple of things. Here's a card from Hartsville Missionary Baptist Church. Says, thanks for your donation to the revival calendar effort. May the Lord bless you, bless your charity in His service. Hartsville Missionary Baptist Church. And we also have received a letter here that Gateway Missionary Baptist Church is requesting the presence of our ordained brethren to assist in ordination of two members. The church has elected Brother Doug Clarity and Brother Keith Shrum to be ordained deacons, and this is going to be done on May the 14th. So just to bring that before the church this morning. We need to go to the Lord in prayer today. I desire an interest in your prayers as I try to stand today and bring forth the things that God would have me to say. But you may have something on your heart this morning you'd like to bring forward. There might be a prayer request or a praise this morning that you'd like to mention before we go to the Lord in prayer.
church to remember my dad tomorrow. He's going to have surgery, and thank God for saving his life.
Let's remember Billy in the morning. He's gonna have gallbladder surgery. He's gonna have his gallbladder removed. And most of all, pray for his soul. As far as we know, he hasn't been saved. He's getting on up in years, and he needs to be saved. Pray that this will get his attention. Something's got to get his attention. Something needs to get a hold of him, that he would seek God and be saved. Someone else this morning. Anything at all. I'd ask the church to continue to remember Brother Galloway. He called last week and said he had a migraine, and for me to not come by and get him, and this morning he didn't even call. So pray for him. These two brethren, Brother White and Brother Brown, dealing with cancer. I haven't heard from Brother Brown for an update to know exactly what his condition is, but we need to lift him up before the Lord this morning. Lord, watch over him. Anyone else? And you remember Hunter, he had his set of treatments, I heard, was able to go home. So, thankful for that. Anyone else?
I'm praying for our brothers,
pray for this ordination. Pray for these men. Nothing else. I'm going to ask Brother Jim if he would lead us in prayer.
Pray your God, or whatever it might take your Lord, get him to that point. today, dear Lord, and give you all your glory, Lord, and we desire your presence, dear Lord, and your help, dear Lord, and your spirit, Lord, to be so bad, dear Lord, in our lives, dear Lord, in your services, Lord, just help us, dear God, today, to do those things as pleasing to thee, Lord. Forgive us, God, our sins, shortcomings, Lord, and just help us, dear God, to do our part in this service. In Jesus' name, we humbly beg your pardon. Amen.
We're going to change to Songs to Remember, page 36.
Attendeth my way.
Soul before this day's over, if you haven't been saved by God's grace. I'm going to take a reading lesson this morning. It's rather lengthy, but as we look at these things and we try to focus, I think it's important that we try to focus upon what this day is set aside for here. And it's important for us to know and understand what all was encompassed in this day and what all went on. I read last week in the 26th chapter and where I was speaking about prayer and about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and Him praying. I'm going to basically just pick up where I left off reading last week in verse 47 of the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew 26, starting in verse 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him, a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master. and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into the place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In the same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hand on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders assembled. And Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and said with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? And they answered and said, He is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another man saw him and said unto him, them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I know not the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the 30 pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful for them for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore the field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they, the children of Israel, did value, and they gave them for a potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing, and said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now, at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When they had sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas to destroy Jesus. And destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult or a riot was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him, and they put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed a knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him. And they took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, and they took the robe from off him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come into the place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and build it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man called for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he cried out with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after the resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many women were there, beholding afar off, from which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the evening was come, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it down in his own tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone at the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation of the priest, and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last era shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone with a setting and setting a watch. In the end of the Sabbath day, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. And he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and with great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell thy brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him to secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Yeah, what a reading. But what a fantastic reading. I just read to you, for your hearing, the gospel message of Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The most powerful thing that has ever been known to man. You can read through in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, the number of places that is referenced to Jesus' death and His resurrection. And you can read through the book of the Acts of the Apostles and all the preaching and the teaching. And each and every chapter, each and every sermon that was given, there was reference given to Jesus' death and His resurrection. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's what the Bible says. It tells us that very clearly. So much of the things that I have just said is so powerful. The Lord give it to us to use that lost souls might be saved. I have a thought this morning out of this reading lesson. I know it was lengthy and I hope nobody's in a hurry today. I hope everybody is come here to serve the Lord. But my thought for my message today is the price for the curse. As we read all these things that happened to our Lord and Savior, how that He willingly gave His life for the sins of this world, for the sins of all mankind, I want us to think about this morning the price that was paid. You see, we can turn back into the very beginning of the Bible, into the book of Genesis, and we can go back into this third chapter and we can look at the third verse. In the Lord's instructions, it says, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Well, I believe most of us that are here today know and understand that Adam and Eve partook of that fruit that they were not supposed to. They didn't die a physical death in their flesh. Their bodies didn't fall over. They didn't drop dead as soon as they took a bite of this fruit. But there was something that was internal inside of them died. Something inside of them, all of a sudden, they were separated from God. And at that very point that their eyes were opened to the understanding of their condition, that they were separated, lost, and separated from God, there was a curse that was put upon them. And that curse has followed all down through all the generations of mankind. We've inherited that curse, that depraved nature, that depraved sinful nature that fell from the very beginning, each and every person. But see, this morning, I want us to know and understand that there had to be a price paid for this curse. The Bible tells us that Jesus was the one that paid the price, that He gave His life for our sins. We can look over, and I tell you, when you start running references on this, I could preach all day. But there's so many references in accordance to this. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "For as many as are of works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that committeth not all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Jesus paid the price for us. He paid the price for the curse that was cast upon all of mankind, that depraved nature that was given to us from the Adam sin. From the very beginning in the garden, that curse that was put upon him and that followed all through down through life and time as we know it, Jesus came to this earth to be the curse for us. He was the curse. He took the curse upon him. I read last week about Jesus and praying to the Father in the garden. He said, Lord, if this cup pass from me, please let this cup pass from me. Taking the sins of the whole world upon him at his death. He prayed the Father to let this pass from me if it be thy will, but if not, I'll die for you. Wow. I'll die for the world. I'll die gladly for the souls of all mankind, from the foundation of the world to the very beginning of time, ending to the beginning. I'll die for them all. And I know that you've shown me that that's the only way it can be. Bible tells that the Lord searched the earth, and there was not a just man found. There wasn't anybody that was good enough to pay the price. But Jesus came and he walked this earth. And you know, in our reading, it time after time in those three chapters that I read for you, it says that the Scripture might be fulfilled, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. All the things that Christ did while He walked here on this earth, that was that the Scripture would be fulfilled, that all the things that they had read about and understood of the Old Testament, of the law, each and everything, every jot and every tittle that was written was fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ and His death for us. For every single one of us that might believe and trust in Him to the saving of their souls. He fulfilled every jot and tittle, the Bible says, and that's every... if you don't know what a jot and tittle is, that's every dot over an I or a punctuation mark or apostrophe. Every little thing that was written in this Bible was fulfilled by Jesus. He lived perfectly and He did it for us. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians, we'll look in the 6th chapter. It tells us here, the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians, it says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It says you are bought with a price. See, there was a price that had to be paid for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us were sinners. And there had to be someone to pay a sin debt for us. To pay for that curse or that pay that price, and that person was Jesus. We were bought with a price. So many things that, I mean, there's reference after reference. We are debtors this morning. We are debtors to Jesus for what He did for us. We owe Him. We owe him everything. We owe Him our life. We owe Him our service. We owe Him... we owe Him more than we could ever pay. We owe Jesus more than we could ever be able to pay back. But as we think about this morning, I want us to just think about the price that He paid for us. And, you know, if we went and borrowed money or something from somebody, if you went and borrowed from a bank, you know, you'd have to pay it back with interest, wouldn't you? You'd be charged an interest fee, and you'd have to pay back a whole lot more than you borrowed. Good thing about this is what we borrowed didn't cost a thing. Didn't cost us a thing. Didn't cost us a thing. And Jesus died for us. We look over in the third chapter of the book of Romans. It tells us that whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. The propitiation, the covering, the shedding of His blood, His death on the cross was what covered our sins. You know, there's a lot of churches today that will say this very same thing. There'll be people that will present this very same thing, that Jesus died on the cross and He paid the sin debt for this whole world. And then they'll say, "Do you believe that?" And if people say, "Yeah, we do," then they'll say, "You're saved." Yes, He did die for us. Yes, He did pay a sin debt for this world that nobody on earth, no human being could have done. But there's a plan of salvation that Jesus brought out in His first sermons. Repentance and faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith in what? Repentance and faith in what? I just read about this morning. Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, and He is risen. He is sitting at the right hand of God, looking down as a mediator between God and man at this time. He is risen. What do you have faith in this morning? Those of us that have been saved by God's grace, do we truly believe this morning that He is there? That He's sitting on the right hand of God and He's interceding for all mankind and all the world? Absolutely. Hallelujah. I do. I do. I'm thankful for that very fact this morning. I know that because I believed and He gave me something. I did repent and I did believe with all my heart. I turned everything over to Him. I was willing to give my life for Him. And at that point that I was willing to give my life for Him, the Lord saved my soul and He gave me something to know and understand, that it was real, that it was not just a Bible story, that it wasn't just history, that it was a Spirit of God that was imputed into my heart. That I had been saved by God's grace, that I had something, and that Jesus truly was sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for this whole world. He let us know. He let me know. He let me feel it. He let me understand it. There's things beyond my comprehension. Far beyond my comprehension, but I can have an assurance and a hope and a risen Savior, that Jesus has risen. And I had that experience when I was a young boy on an altar calling up God asking Him to save my soul. And that's the way you get salvation. The Lord shows you you're lost. He draws you and brings you down to the point where you are willing to turn everything over to Him. And then when you get to that point, He does all the rest. He brings you to the point of repentance and faith that you need to be, and He saves your soul. He does it all. It's so good that See, he does it all. You know, if there was something in there that man could do as far as salvation goes, then man would take all the credit, wouldn't he? They'd take all the credit. Matter of fact, there's a lot of them today taking the credit for it. There's a lot of them claiming that they can save you, and they so many different ways of salvation, but it's a lie. Jesus paid it all. Jesus did it all. The price for the curse, Jesus was the one. You know, the price that was paid for his death, 30 pieces of silver, given to betray him, to turn him over to those that was going to kill him. 30 pieces of silver. What a sad thing to think that you can put that a money amount on someone's life and someone's soul. But there are people in the world today that they're, I truly believe with all my heart, that they're preaching a false salvation and a false doctrine, and I believe that they are, the Bible says, making people twofold the child of the devil, and they are sending people to, as the old saying goes, to hell in a handbasket. Right and left. People are following it. They're listening to it. We can't do that. Romans 5:15-18 says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." You know, when I was saved, I was a young boy. If salvation would have cost anything, then I'd have never got it. And I'd say it would be the same way for most of y'all. If there was a price that could be put on eternal life in heaven, how many of us in here think today that we could afford it? How many of us in here truly think that we could afford that? Can't put a price on eternity in heaven. There's not one. Jesus said in Revelation 21:6, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I was given to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." I give freely for anybody that don't know where they stand before God. Jesus paid the price for you. He died for you on the cross of Calvary, on Golgotha's hill. He shed his blood for the sins of this whole world, for you and for me. If you don't know and understand that, if you don't know Jesus in the free pardon of sin, if you haven't ever been saved by God's grace, I would ask you this morning to consider these things. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe in Jesus this morning? Do you believe in the Jesus that I read about that died on the cross and is risen, that is seated at the right hand of God this morning, making intercession for man? Do you believe that this morning? If you're here and lost and you believe that, I would ask you to seek Him that you might be found. You got to seek Him. You got to pray. You got to ask the Lord. There ain't nothing that I could do but pray for you. Salvation is personal. It's between you and God. And it has to be, you have to have an experimental knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You got to know that you know that you know. Because if I told you you were saved, somebody else would come along and talk you up. But when the Lord and Savior saves your soul, they can't nobody tell you any different. I believe it's been mentioned. Brother Dylan Duncan, he's got Alzheimer's. He don't know his daughter and his family when they walk in, but you start talking about the Lord. He remembers that. When the Lord saves your soul, He puts a seal on your heart and something that you'll never forget. You know that you know that you know. You got a time and place where you met the Lord. You don't have that this morning. You need it. If you want to go to heaven one day, you got to have that. Without it, you won't be there. God bless you with my prayer. This is my message and my thought this morning. Brother Dylan, I'd like to have a song this morning. And I'd like to have an altar call. If there's anybody that's here lost, I want to give them an opportunity to see God this morning.
Page 31, Songs to Remember. Page 31.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.
Anyone else? If you're here lost, don't know the Lord. He may speak to you later on. You may not be close to church. You may not be around the church. The Lord is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. If He deals with you, if He allows you to know and understand your condition, if He shows you that you're a sinner, that you're separated from Him, seek Him then. Wherever you might be at, call upon the Lord for the salvation of your soul. God bless you, everybody. We won't be having any services tonight. Services will be dismissed for this afternoon. Any other announcements, anything anybody can think of? If not, we'll be dismissed tonight. Like I said, no services tonight. No services will be dismissed tonight. So come back next Sunday morning. 10 o'clock, Sunday school. Brother Jerry Parker, would you dismiss us for the word
of prayer? Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for bringing us this way. Thank you, Lord, above all things, for salvation of our soul, for what you did for us on Calvary. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us for sins and shortcomings. We ask you, Lord, to watch over us and be with us. We ask you, Lord, to hear the prayer request that's been made. Oh, Lord, we'd ask you to bring conviction to the lost. Let them know where they stand and help them be willing to listen and to humble themselves before you for the salvation of their soul. We'd ask you, Lord, to watch over us, bless us, until we meet again. These favors we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, how are you?
How are you doing?
I didn't know that you were.
It is.
You too.